May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder how you felt when you stepped into this sanctuary this morning to see the beauty and the fantastic way in which it has been decorated. When I saw this on Friday, I thought these were eggs. And I was saying to them, I hope you are not putting me into temptation. In case in the course of the service, I happen to break one and then begin to eat. And then you can also see here, sandwiches here. These are artificial, but they look very much like original. And what is interesting about the decoration we have here this morning is that they come from different parts of the world, which again shows how interconnected we are with our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. There is a popular African saying that says, I am because we are, and you are because we are. So we don't live in a vacuum. We live in a world that is connected with each other in many ways. And so thank you again to those who helped in decorating this place. And I am looking forward to your decoration next Sunday. I don't know what what you are going to come up with for next Sunday, but thank you so much for this beautification. Harvest Thanksgiving for us as a congregation is profoundly important in that it focuses us on God as a source of our blessings. The ancient Israelites, for them, harvest festival did not just celebrate God's gift of the harvest. It was also a time to celebrate their God-given freedom from slavery in Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey. In Psalm 126, we see this reminder. It reminds the children of Israel of the Lord's past works in their lives and his promise to carry on that work into the future. For us and for the Israelites, we should always remember where we were when the Lord found us, how we started our life journey, and how God delivered us from our lost and oppressive conditions by his grace. Apostle Paul would say, it is by his grace. Our life begins with grace, continues in grace, and we end in grace. And so when we say, let us end the service in the words of the grace, these are powerful, very powerful prayers. The grace of God. The grace of God, that is really what is keeping us. We are saved by grace. We are sustained by grace. And it is by God's grace that we'll be able to see God face to face. And so in this sermon, I would like to invite us briefly to meditate on God's gifts to us, many of God's blessings to us, and also to think about how we can respond to these wonderful messages of God in our lives. The Macedonian churches excelled in expression of gratitude to God, though they underwent severe trials. But their joy overflowed in generous giving as the poverty of others was brought to their notice. Although needy themselves, they needed help. They counted it a privilege to share what they possessed with others who had less. I think that is what many of us have demonstrated by bringing these shoe boxes. And for many of us, we've done it for many, many years. They did not just limit their giving, and that is really important, to putting money in the offering plate. They put themselves, they committed themselves with the offering. There is no doubt that some of us here, and for some of our friends that we know, might feel that our lives today are a bit like going along a wee, narrow, dangerous road. And that in the past few months or years, you've been coming across signs of challenges, dangers, uncertainties, and difficulties. If we can learn for a moment to keep our hearts focused on the Lord and all that He has done for us, we will find reasons to be thankful, even in the midst of trials. During a harvest festival in India, I read this, an old woman, an old widow, arrived at her church like we've done this morning with an extraordinarily large offering of rice, far more than the poor woman could be expected to afford. The pastor of the congregation actually knew that the woman was very poor, and so he asked her if she were making the offering in gratitude for some unusual blessing. "Yes," replied the woman. "My son was sick, and I promised a large gift to God if he got well." And so the pastor smiled and said, "Yes, so your son has recovered." The woman paused for a while and said, "No, he did not. In fact, he died last week. But I know that he is in God's care. For that, I am especially grateful." Some days are just great. Things go as planned or even better. And so we bounce from meetings to tasks to our private lives, and we feel wonderful on the inside. And like many of us know, some days are not like that. There are other days when we do not feel much motivated at all. When our best laid plans go out the window before the day has barely begun. When something important unexpectedly goes wrong and we get that sinking feeling in our stomach. On such days, what do? Kick everybody in the house? Quarrel everybody on the phone? What do you do on such days? On such days, I suggest, according to the scripture, we should turn our focus on gratitude. We should look around our lives, in our families, in the lives of our spouses, our children, our neighbors, members of our congregation, and see the beauty of God. Because even in the midst of trials, we can still sing songs of praise. For I spoke with my dad, I've shared with some of us, you know, I've been speaking with him on a daily basis. Last year, he had a partial stroke, mini stroke, that affected the right, the left hand, and the left leg. And he has started walking a little bit, but for some days, because of arthritis on his right leg, he has stopped walking. And each time I speak to him, he says, "You know, Elijah, I am thankful." He said, "Elijah, just relax, God is in control." He said, "Elijah, you know, I'm going to walk back again. I'm going to walk with these two legs again." No matter how bad or hard the situation is, we can always find reasons to give thanks to God. Growing up in our house, there was this write-up. "I was crying, I had no shoes, until I saw someone without legs." And it says, "Don't think that your problems are worse than those of other people." This morning, as I was coming, I felt like singing, but I don't know if I can sing well. Maybe I'll make a mess of what Fiona does. "My heart, my soul, We sing hallelujah, praise God for loving me, for loving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul, my mouth will sing hallelujah. Praise God for loving me. We can sing hallelujah no matter what the situation might be in our lives. And in this season, we have every reason to be thankful. Our shoeboxes, as Anne mentioned to us, will be going to people who are not sure of where their next meal is going to come from. But for many of us, we have plenty, we have safe water. We also have, for some of us, my worry about sickness, but God has blessed us with improving medical services and dedicated medical practitioners. We can be thankful. There are communities in the world where these are unaffordable. You can't even find them. We need to be thankful. For Jesus, whom our Lord God sent to die on our behalf. And so in this new week, try to be thankful. Give thanks to God for the things you take for granted. Your family, your wife, your husband, your children, the food on your plate, your grants, the water, electricity, and all the things around us. No matter what the situation of life might be, you can sing hallelujah. Amen.